where you want to be 10 years from now?
10 years from now, where do I want to be? I want to be just living, man. Just living comfortably with my wife. You know, just laid back, just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Living.
Christopher Wallace there. Biggie Smalls. He was at the height of his rap career in the early 90s. The rise of his star, though, came to a tragic end 12 years ago when he was killed in a drive-by shooting. Christopher Wallace, the Notorious B.I.G., was 24. Today, Notorious, a biopic based on Biggie Smalls' life, hits theaters nationwide. Now, for a look at what this film means for Biggie Smalls' legacy, we are joined by Valletta Wallace. Is Biggie Smalls' mom. Ms. Wallace, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're also one of the film's producers, correct?
Yes, I am.
Well, Ms. Wallace, I've heard you say that you learned things about your son's life in this film that you didn't know and that really you didn't like. That must have been a difficult thing to come by in a film that you helped produce.
Yes, it was extremely painful. But I felt it was something that I had to do because it's a project that I started. When I began this project, you know, everyone knew him as an artist, as the greatest rapper. You know, they never knew him as a father or a son or even as a man. And I felt, you know, during all this research, I found out about the man, and a part of that man I never liked very much, or I hadn't liked very much.
And these were things that you honestly didn't know about your son before others told stories? Was it stories from his friends or from cohorts that you didn't know, that people don't necessarily share with their moms?
Well, I found out, and during this research, I also found out that some of the friends around him knew, and that is how I came to know this. So many of the things that was out there, his friends knew about it or his associates knew about it.
Well, you had known, I'm sure, that he did a stint in prison for drug-related charges. You must have known that. So there were other things besides just brushes with the law, I take it.
Well, I knew he was arrested. That much I knew. I knew he spent days in, I don't know if you call it prison or jail.
Jail, yeah.
But I felt that had to be brought out.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about the making of this film, because there were some fascinating stories about how the role of Biggie was cast. They didn't really do a traditional, they didn't go to central casting for the actor to play a notorious B.I.G. Can you tell us how the role of your son was cast for this film?
Well, there was a casting call in New York City. God, so many people turned up. And then there were, you know...
But this was an open casting call. It wasn't just actors. It was people from all over the city, wasn't it, who were fans and who knew how to rap like him and thought they looked like him and could walk like him.
All over the city and all over the country. You have people from Canada came down for this casting call.
Wow.
And then, you know, they were sent in, their bios were sent in, and that there was a particular day when they were doing some audition that I felt I had to see. And that's when this man, Jamal Woodard, walked in.
But you sat there watching auditions, I take it, watching a dozen, two dozen, maybe 50 gentlemen of various size and weight, I'm sure, because Biggie was a big guy, coming through the door to talk like him and rap like him and do his rhymes. That must have been quite an experience to see all these people who essentially had learned to be just like your boy.
It was a day beyond day. But for some reason, that second day when I went in, they never saw me. I was just sitting into a corner. So I never wanted to intimidate anyone. I felt the first day I was somewhat I intimidated a lot. But that next day I felt I'd got to keep myself away from them. So that day, Jamal, they did not see me.
Well, the day Jamal did it, and he was, of course, chosen to play Christopher Wallace in the film. The day he did it, did you know in your mind right away that he was the one, or was it more of a communal decision with the directors and the people really running the film?
When Jamal walked in, he had this old demeanor, this, you know, self-assurance, you know, within himself that I got this part. You know, it was all Biggie's. He came in as a Biggie. He had the hat, he had the glasses, he had the whole suit, he had the personality. When he rapped, and, you know, George and my other producer said, okay, we'll get in touch with you, he turned to them in a very, very humble, calm way and said, thank you. And when he said thank you, he reminded me so much of my son. I said to them, that's my son there.
And you knew at that point?
I knew at that point he was my son.
Well, what would, now that the film is coming out, what would you like people to take away from the film? Of course, fans of Biggie's music get their dose from the soundtrack. There's no doubt about that. But what do you think? What do you think that Biggie's? Do you think that Biggie's life carries any lessons, real lessons,
yes,
that people can take away?
Yes, it does, because Christopher did some awful things in his life, but he had a talent. He had a wonderful talent. And for all those men, those women, those kids out there, I would like for them to use their talent. Don't focus on what was so awful. Because you know what? Good might cost a penny, but bad cost $1 million. And a penny worth of good is better than $1 million worth of bad. And I would like for them to take their talent and make it the best that they can.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.